Live all across the United States and Canada, the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel, the reliability of the Bible, and give reasons for the historic Christian faith because truth matters. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute, the Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, or great resources we recommend, go to our website, www.equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
And I'll be taking your questions in just a moment when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. Right now, I want to say just a couple of words about the Legacy reading plan, because we are now in fall and we're starting the October reading, and then we're going to go on through November and December, and in that period of time, complete the entire New Testament. But the Legacy reading plan is an innovative approach to reading through 66 love letters, one book at a time, and that for the rest of your life. I've said this often: if I live to be the age at which my father died, I'll have about 15 more times to read through the Bible. If I live longer, so much the better. But reading through the Bible at any age is a daunting proposition. So the Legacy Reading Plan is strategically designed to empower you to eat that elephant one book at a time. The format is specifically formulated to make your time in God's Word the best it can possibly be. And again, when I talk about the Legacy Reading Plan, I'm also talking about the Legacy Listening Plan, or better yet, both. You can listen and you can read at the same time. And one of the ways you can do that is by using the Legacy Bible, My Legacy Study Bible, along with the Word of Promise that I've been talking about on the broadcast. It's dramatized. It's absolutely intoxicating and incredible. Right now, in October, we're starting, and I mean today, we're starting the books of John. In the New Testament, there are five books of John. You have, of course, John's Gospel. You have his three epistles, and then you have the book of Revelation. And I think, as it is essential to read through books rather than bits of books, so it is helpful to read biblical authors sequentially. As such, the Legacy Reading Plan is grouped by author, and that is particularly helpful because even though biblical authors wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, their personalities, their proclivities are clearly evident in their writings. For example, John, and John alone, as you'll see this month, identifies Jesus as the Word or the Logos, and likewise, John alone identifies Jesus as the true witness, and it is John who most exploits the Mosaic requirements of the two witnesses, which, of course, you're going to find in not only the Gospel of John, but also Revelation chapter 2. But again, my purpose is to get you into the Legacy Reading Plan, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also order the Legacy Study Bible, and when you do, you get the Legacy Reading Plan. I want to get you into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. And if you give a donation right now of $250 or more towards the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute, I would be pleased to personalize a copy of the Legacy Study Bible. I also want to share with you a testimony. This is a blast from the past. Elaine writes, "I was one of those that bought groceries and supplies way back in the year 2000. I believed my church's warning about Y2K. You were the voice in the wilderness saying contrary things. I thank you I know your stand was not popular at the time, but you have my respect now. Thank you for not going along with what seemed to be the tide of opinion. I made a change of denominations and avoid sensational subjects. Thank you, Hank. Blessings to you. Blessings to the CRI staff. And blessings to your family. Again, a testimony by Elaine. And I remember back in 2000, can't believe that's almost a decade ago, when I wrote the Millennium Bug Debugged, pretty much all the Christian world. If you listen to Christian radio or television, they were selling Y2K emergency supplies and books, and people were making life decisions based on sensationalism, sophistry, sloppy journalism, and worst of all, the torture of Scripture. We did go against the tide. It wasn't popular, and it certainly hurt us financially. But a lot of people were helped by the stand we took. And so we recognize once again that it's not about a popularity contest. It's about being faithful. I want to go to our callers now. First up, Josh. He's listening on KQCV in Stillwater, Oklahoma. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I was wondering what your take was on Mike Bickle's ministry in IHOP in Kansas City.
Well, I don't have a very good opinion of what this man is involved in. And I started writing about him in a book called Counterfeit Revival. And lately, we've actually done an article in the Christian Research Journal. In fact, the current edition of the Christian Research Journal. One of the things that's pointed out in the journal article is that Mike Bickle believes the end of the world will unfold in this generation. In other words, he's a date setter. And so he is praying on a practical level for thousands of what he calls last days forerunner Christians. These are prophetic voices that he hopes will emerge in the spirit and power of Elijah and defeat the Antichrist soon coming one world government. And he says that the end times is going to reveal a killing Christ who is covered with blood as he marches through Jordan to free Jerusalem while engaging the Antichrist army in a physical combat. He envisions that the end time forerunner church will be an advanced apostolic movement and that they will experience greater things than the apostles themselves. He believes that Moses' miracles and the miracles of the book of Acts will be multiplied on a global level as the praying church looses judgments on the earth. In other words, he does not know how to read the Bible for all it's worth and engages his followers in sensationalism. And worst of all, as I just mentioned, script torture. The torture of Scripture. He was a counterfeit revivalist and unfortunately has gone from the frying pan into the fire. Here's an example where Mike Bickle is speaking about what the prophet Bob Jones told him. And Bob Jones, according to Mike Bickle, was one of these great prophetic voices. He made all kinds of statements about the prophetic prowess of Bob Jones, who turns out to be a fraud. I'm not talking about the Bob Jones of Bob Jones University, but this great prophet that he helped put on a pedestal, who, as I said, was a prophetic fraud. Again, here's Mike Bickle speaking about the prophet Bob Jones and what Bob Jones told him.
Paul was anxious to talk to the end-time apostles and prophets more than the end-time apostles and prophets would have been to talk to Paul. He said, because what they would do would go far greater in the glory of God.
Amen.
And the saints in the New Testament would wait in line to greet the apostles coming from this generation.
I don't know what kind of chutzpah it takes to say something like that. That this forerunner Christian army that he's talking about is going to be so great that the biblical prophets and apostles are going to stand in line to greet the apostles from this generation, because what the apostles from this generation are going to do, greater than what Elijah did, greater than the miracles codified in the book of Acts, this is absolutely not only absurd, but blasphemous. And the bottom line of all of this is what he is saying is simply untrue.
Thank you very much, Hank. My brother is turning into a big follower, and I myself have heard Mike Bickle's CDs and was quite impressed by them, and have been listening to your broadcast for such a long time. I wanted to wonder what your take was, and if everything that he was saying was legit.
Absolutely not legit. And again, two places, Christian Research Journal, Current Issue, as well as Counterfeit Revival. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Rose in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Rose.
Yes, Hank, thank you so much for taking my call. I have a question about 1 Peter 3:18, where it says, "For Christ died for sins once and for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built." Okay, that one. And then in Ephesians 4, when he ascended on high and led captives in his train to give gifts to men, what does he ascended mean? Except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions. He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So did he go into prison to preach to the spirits in prison?
Well, first of all, let me take the last passage in Ephesians chapter 4 and say unequivocally that what is going on there has nothing to do with Christ's incarceration in hell. It has to do with his incarnation on earth. And as far as 1 Peter chapter 3 is concerned, there are a number of views on that. Jesus proclaimed victory to those in Hades, was the view of the church fathers, and Christ through his Spirit preached to the people of Noah's day, was the basic view of the reformers. But the one thing you have to remember here, that regardless of whether you're talking about the view of the church fathers or the reformers or any other view, there's no heresy involved in saying Jesus Christ went to hell, unless you, like the faith teachers, say that Jesus Christ finished the work of redemption.
Oh, yeah. No,
in hell.
I don't think that at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
No, he finished that on the cross.
Yeah, and I would say it's singularly incorrect to say that Jesus Christ went to hell in any sense, because Jesus, with his own words, said quite the opposite. Jesus said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit."
Yes.
And to the thief on the cross, he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." So the notion that he went to hell, I think, is patently unbiblical.
Yes, yes. Okay, well, thank you so much. Can I ask you just one more question?
Yeah, sure.
I was listening to John MacArthur this morning. I enjoy John MacArthur and somebody else. I can't think of his name right now. But he was talking about the emergent church, R-rated church. What is he talking about, and which churches is he referring to?
Yeah, well, when he talks about the emergent church, there's a new movement within Christianity. At least it's relatively new. And for a long time, it was very difficult for people to get a handle on what was going on in the emergent church movement, because there were various strands of that movement. One of the strands is thoroughly evangelical. So there's a hip mode, but a thoroughly orthodox message. But there's another strand which is thoroughly unorthodox, and it's led by people like Brian McLaren, as well as people like Rob Bell. Rob Bell, for example, and we just did an article on this in the Christian Research Journal, he speculates that if Jesus had a real earthly biological father, and his father was Larry, and archaeologists find Larry's tomb, and they find out that the virgin birth was just a bit of mythology to appease the followers of Mithra, it wouldn't make a difference at all. We wouldn't lose any significant part of our faith, because it's more about how we live. And of course, that is a disastrous thing to say on many different levels, including the fact, the most obvious fact, that if, in fact, this idea is true, if, in fact, we would find Christ's tomb, and if we find out that Mary didn't have a virgin conception of Jesus Christ, but married a Roman soldier and conceived Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ turns out to be a bastard. The implications for the Christian faith are horrific, to say the least. Again, we've written about this in the Christian Research Journal, an article titled Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. Again, available through the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back.
Is Halloween haunted or hallowed, secular or sacred, a time of oppression or of opportunity? Halloween, or Witch's New Year, is rooted in the ancient pagan calendar. Halloween, however, is not just about hobgoblins haunting and harassing humans. It is about the holy. Did you know that the Christian Church moved a festive celebration called All Saints' Day from November 1st to the evening of October 31st and renamed it All Hallows' Eve, from which Halloween derived its name? Learn more about making Halloween a holy day when you go to our website, www.equip.org, and get a free article from Hank Hanegraaff entitled Halloween, Oppression or Opportunity. This article and our website will provide additional resources to equip you and inspire you and your kids toward righteousness and away from darkness. Again, get Hank's article, Halloween, Oppression or Opportunity, at www.equip.org. Don't touch that dial. The Bible Answer Man will continue right after this.
We are engaged in a war.
A war.
Not a war with bombs and bullets, not even with power politics. This is a war with an invisible enemy, against the rulers, authorities, and powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And the only way to know victory over this enemy is to know the weaponry you have to fend him off. The Covering by Hank Hanegraaff is based upon Paul's words to the Ephesians commanding us to put on the armor of God. The Covering outlines this armor and its importance in our spiritual battles. He explains what it means to incorporate God's covering and the practical ways God delivers us from evil. Consider it your effective biblical battle plan to wage successful spiritual warfare. Call CRI and order Hank Hanegraaff's fascinating book, The Covering. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also order The Covering online by going to www.equip.org.
It's the 21st century and Christianity is still in crisis.
I have equality with God.
Whatever is done on earth, a human must give God permission to do it.
Some of you better go down to that Lexus and Mercedes dealership and just sit down in one of those things with that leather all over it.
Poor folks, get ready to come out of poverty.
Yes.
And when you call in and make that faith promise of $3,000.
Millions are deceived by false teachings and fallacious hopes. But there is tremendous news. Order Hank Hanegraaff's Christianity in Crisis 21st Century and become equipped to reach those lost in this generation of superstar faith teachers. To order Christianity in Crisis 21st Century, call toll-free 888-7000-CRI or go online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the limited leather edition.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is here to stand for truth and help Christians understand and contend for the historic Christian faith. Many of our valued listeners and Christian leaders have encouraged us in our mission.
This is Carl Amari, producer of the Word of Promise audio Bible. Hank Hanegraaff and his team have been an incredible source of support for me and the entire Word of Promise staff. Not only has Hank embraced my vision for the Word of Promise, but he's also embraced my team through prayer and encouragement to stand strong in our call to minister to the lost and hurting. His unfailing enthusiasm for the Word of God and its life-changing power encourages and promotes the same in those of us who wish to bring God's Word front and center in the eyes of the world. Hank's desire to reach out to those in spiritual need resonates with my own spirit. His uncompromising message of faith has been and continues to be a lifeline for thousands and a beacon of light to a darkened world.
The truth is, it simply takes resources to fulfill the unique and vital ministry that the Christian Research Institute does daily. So we're asking for your fervent prayers and financial participation. If you can make a special gift to the Christian Research Institute or join the Bible Answer Man support team, the CRI Fellowships, or the President's Council, contact us right now toll-free at 888-7000-274. Or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And when you join the Bible Answer Man support team, receive Hank's Essential Christian Doctrine Flip Chart as our gift to you. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff.
Also want to mention, for your gift of $100 or more, I would be pleased to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer book, Collector's Edition. Every morning, I have the privilege of sitting at my desk and personalizing copies of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. 100% of the proceeds go to the furtherance of this ministry around the globe. Again, you can check this out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can just write for your copy at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Ann in Memphis, Tennessee. Hi, Ann.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Okay. Doctrine of Predestination. Had a little two-hour-long conversation, quote, with my next-door neighbor, mm-hmm. who really does believe as people are predestined to heaven, they are also predestined to hell. She also believes that children of non-Christians may not go to heaven or may not go to hell, but they don't go to heaven. And I'm just, are you crazy? I didn't say that, but I did just say, you were horribly wrong. I didn't, of course, in my infinite wisdom and lack of proving myself worthy, you know, study, all that, didn't really have any verses for her to contradict her belief. We did talk about God asking Saul to wipe out the Amalekites, not just the men, but the women and children also. And that might sound kind of beastly to a lost person. Why would God ever say to kill a child or whatever? And I was just telling her that so they could go to heaven too, so they wouldn't be brought up in that lifestyle too. And the Amalekites were not going to stop, and, you know, the judge is going to be just, and the more sin they committed, the more they were just, you know, going to basically make themselves worse off, you know. She mentioned the verse, you know, is it not the potter who makes certain vessels, you know, for
noble purposes and others for ignoble purposes,
broken,
yes.
Whatever, you know, and I was just... No, and I tried to say, picture it like this. You have a door frame. Whosoever will may come on one side, and then the door frame is heaven. You walk through. You look through on the other side, and you said, and then it says, called before the beginning of time over it.
So, Ann, is there a question here?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is there a question here?
Yes. How am I to tell her that John 3:16 means Christ did not die for the elect as she thinks he did? He died for the world.
Well, I think that there are Christians that hold the position that you hold, and there are Christians that hold to circumstantial freedom or compatibilistic freedom. And that is a very, very virulent debate within Christian circles. We can debate this vigorously. Ultimately, we do not have to divide over it. I do not personally hold to circumstantial or compatibilistic freedom. I hold to libertarian freedom. And I would argue with what you brought up earlier that your friend was talking about, and that is double predestination. If you hold to predestination, logically you would hold to double predestination in that every coin has two sides. And so if God regenerates...
I believe in predestination too. But when the Bible speaks about it in Romans, you're predestined to life, predestined to sonship. I don't believe that God makes people to send them to hell, and they have no other choice but to go to hell.
Right. And the double predestination viewpoint, that's precisely what you have. God predestines some to election and some to reprobation. Those are the two sides of the coin. And if you hold to this paradigm, we think that that is the only logical way to hold to it. As I say, I don't agree with that particular paradigm. So I would disagree with those that hold to this particular point of view on the basis of what Scripture clearly teaches. I would also say, with respect to Romans chapter 9 and the partial passage that you quoted, that it's very instructive for people to recognize that what Paul is quoting there has a context in the Old Testament, both in Isaiah 29 and Jeremiah chapter 18, and therefore to understand what Paul is saying in completeness, one must go back to the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, you recognize immediately that God creates vessels for noble purposes and those for ignoble purposes, not capriciously, not I'm God and I can do whatever I want. Certainly he can, but God is ruled by his own nature. In other words, he cannot be inconsistent with his own nature. And therefore, what he does is never capricious, but as is very clear in the context within the Old Testament passages that I just cited, that vessels are created for ignoble purposes because they respond in disobedience, and noble purposes because they respond in obedience. Obviously, this is a debate that will continue to go on, and we've done a number of things. One of the things we've done that I think very helpful in the Christian Research Journal is actually a debate between a Calvinist and a non-Calvinist, and you can look that up on the World Wide Web at equip.org. I'd be happy to send it to you. But that way you can see what the arguments are, and then test them in light of Scripture, hold fast to that which is good. But I want to emphasize that this is an in-house debate, and there are many fine Christian theologians that hold to the Calvinist notion of predestination or double predestination. I want to go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Corey, listening on WCRT. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Hank. I've been listening to your show for a few weeks now. I'm really impressed with it, so it's a pleasure to be talking to you today. My question is about, I've had some debates, some arguments on Facebook with people that espouse the, I guess I'd have to call it a doctrine of King James Version only. Not only do they really love the King James, as I do, I think it's a monumental translation in English, but they truly believe that all other modern editions, modern versions of the Bible are meant to lead Christians astray, and are actually, they often use the language perversions of Scripture. I just kind of want to get your thoughts on that that viewpoint.
Well, I hold to your position. I think you've aptly stated the correct position. The KJV is a translation that stood the test of time for many centuries, and it is a wonderful translation. However, since the King James Version was commissioned in 1604 and completed in 1611, we, by God's grace, have many more complete manuscripts than we did at that time. And as a result of that, there have been improvements made on the King James Version, including the New King James Version. which is my Legacy Study Bible. That's New King James Version. So the notion of
King... The New King James, I know that there seem to be some more level-headed King James, only people who just truly believe that the Textus Receptus was the best Greek text, but I mean the idea that other versions are specifically meant to lead Christians down a false path, that seems to be a bad way to go to me.
Yeah, I think that you should also recognize that the term Textus Receptus did not come into existence until 1633, and it was an advertising blurb produced by the Elzevirbrüderen, who were born in the same town I was, in Leiden, in Holland. So it's a term that's bandied about. Most people that use it don't know what its genesis is. But yeah, the thing that I would say is, again, there have been very noteworthy improvements to the King James Version. Obviously, the King James Version of 1611 had some pretty glaring errors in it, and that's why there were three different editions just in that year alone. And the mistake is that people think that the King James Version came straight down from Mount Sinai, hot off the plates. And obviously, if that were true, there'd be some big problems, because the original read, "Then cometh Judith," when it should read, "Then cometh Jesus." And the seventh commandment read, "Thou shalt commit adultery," when it should have read, "Thou shalt not commit adultery."
Yeah, the wicked Bible.
Yeah. So at any rate, we should say that those who are KJV only are seriously misled and oftentimes not well informed.
Well, I appreciate your input on that. Thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. And, of course, we have a lot of information at the Christian Research Institute, a number of different books that we recommend in this regard. I know that this has been, again, a big, big debate when a book came out called New Age Versions. It created quite a stir in the Christian world, and people thought, oh my goodness, we have perversions with the NIV, and then they will quote and say, here are things that are left out of the NIV that were in the original text, and they failed to recognize that the KJV was not an autograph. It was based on manuscript evidence as well. Unfortunately, the manuscript evidence was not as complete then as it is now. That is not to say that there's anything substantially wrong with the KJV. It's simply to say that when we as Christians say that the Bible is the infallible repository for redemptive revelation, we're not making that statement with respect to translations, but rather with respect to the originals or the autographs. And we're saying further that the translations that we have today are very reliable and able facsimiles of those autographs. There may be differences in style and spelling, but no difference in substance. And therefore, the Word of God is today, as it has always been, reliable and trustworthy. You can place the destiny of your eternal soul on the words of the KJV Bible, as well as the NIV or the NASV. They're all good translations of the Bible. And we thank God for modern translations and the modern translators who have given their lives to making certain that we have the text in our context so that we can read the Bible for all it's worth. A lot more on this subject, as I said. You can check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org, and we'll be right back in just a few moments with more of your questions. Please stay tuned.
At the Christian Research Institute, our ministry is supported in so many different ways, and one of those ways involves non-cash assets. These assets include things like cars or real estate, and just as with cash donations, these gifts are tax deductible. To find out more about the types of non-cash gifts that you can donate to the work and ministry in the various outreaches of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just visit our website at www.equip.org. And once there, click on the Donate button and then select the Give a Non-Cash Donation option. Again, that's on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Hank will be right back after these messages.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Don't miss our cover story on famed capitalist and atheistic philosopher Ayn Rand. Our practical apologetics feature article, Equipping the Next Generation, highlights five key factors parents can teach children in counteracting worldly philosophy and overdependence on church programs. Our effective evangelism department equips you to respond to the difficult problem of evil objection. Hank answers an attack on the reliability of the Bible by distinguished University of North Carolina professor Dr. Bart Ehrman as he answers the question, Christ's cleansing of the temple. Can Mark and John be reconciled? In his Ask Hank column.
Call CRI and start your subscription today. 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity, emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life.
Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible, designed to give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from Hank on the Bible Answer Man program. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym, LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines, charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more, order your copy today. Also, for $250, you can get a personalized edition from Hank. Just call 888-7000-274 or look for it online at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Sandy, listening on KCCV. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Good. My call is really a follow-up to a previous caller asking about the emerging church and Brian McLaren in particular. We are doing his book in our Bible study right now with Tony Campolo, Missing the Point. And we definitely don't agree with all his theology, but we still feel like we could benefit from continuing this study, and I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Well, perhaps you can, but if you feel that you can, you better have great discernment skills, mm-hmm. so that you can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light, because Brian McLaren is an emergent liberal, and he says many dangerous things that I think lead people astray from the central or essential teachings of the historic Christian faith. Now, it does that through theologically ambiguous statements that take the sharp edges away from essential Christian doctrine. He's also unwilling to say that homosexual activity is sinful, and says Christians should not proclaim on that particular subject at this point. So what does that translate to? Well, when I get to Paul's statements on homosexuality, I've got to quickly skip over them. I certainly can't read them to my family because I shouldn't proclaim on that point. I mean, Paul's proclaiming on it. The Old Testament proclaims on it. But according to Brian McLaren, we shouldn't proclaim on it. And then he endorses liberal scholars like John Dominic Crossan and Marcus Borg of the Jesus Seminar, and writes a foreword to a recent book that promotes universalism and denies the existence of hell. So I think he's a dangerous guy.
Okay. Yeah, because we've had, there's certain things he says, and we've all kind of agreed, well, we're going to take out the bad and try to learn from what's good in this book, and brings up good topics, evangelism and how to do those kinds of things, but it sounds like we may be doing more harm than good just even reading some of his, blasphemous statements.
Yeah, I mean, if you have, as I say, really good discernment skills, that's one thing, but most Christians do not. Here's an example of what McLaren says, and this is an article we did on the emergent church movement in the Christian Research Journal. This is a quote. He says he's trying to find an alternative to both traditional universalism and the narrow, exclusivistic understanding of hell, that unless you explicitly accept and follow Jesus, you are excluded from eternal life with God and destined for hell. So he wants to find an alternative to this notion. And I think that is absurd. In fact, I think that is abhorrent. Because if there is no choice, there is no real heaven or hell. Heaven and hell presupposes choice. And if he does not want to give that choice to people, what you end up having is a God who becomes a cosmic rapist. And therefore, people will inherit a counterfeit heaven. And people who are not believers will be incarcerated in heaven against their will, which becomes a torment worse than hell. If there is no hell, there is no choice. And we would say God gives people a choice. He doesn't force himself on people for all eternity. So the notion of universalism is dead wrong. And just as disastrous is this notion that he wants to move towards, a notion that, well, maybe we can't say what we've been saying or what's biblically said about hell. I don't think he has to find an alternative. Universalism is wrong, and a denial of hell is clearly wrong. So why do this wishy-washy, drag Christ name in the mud kind of gyration that he's doing, all in the interest of being politically correct? So what you do is you cut the heart out of Christianity. And you can't paper this stuff over, and that's what people do. They want to be gentle with this, but I don't, because people's lives are on the line. Ideas have consequences. And the idea that he posits or promotes or speculates about, he likes to be on this kind of wishy-washy edge, is disastrous for the faith, and more than that, disastrous for people who do not know how to think clearly.
Great. Well, thank you. I appreciate your insight on that. And I'll take that back to my class.
Well, thank you for your call. And again, the article in the Christian Research Journal that may be helpful to you. It's titled Navigating the Emerging Church Highway. And there you find emergent liberals as well as emergent evangelicals. We should know the difference between the two and the various other possibilities, but we should not paper over with rhetoric the horrifying things being said in the Christian church by people who take the sacred name of Christ upon their lips. I'm not going to equivocate as long as I do this broadcast. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jane. She's listening in Kansas City. Hi, Jane.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. I have heard you say several times that when a person dies, that they're immediately God. When do you actually go through, since we all have to stand before Jesus or God and justify what we did on earth, at what point is the Lamb's Book of Life opened?
Well, there are various views on this within the Christian church, but I'll give you mine. What happens when you die is you're absent from the body, present with the Lord, if indeed you are a follower of Christ.
Uh-huh.
You are then awaiting the time that the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the books will be opened, and the Bible says another book will be opened, which is the Book of Life. And the dead are judged according to what they have done, as recorded in the books. The Book of Life is a metaphor for those who have their names affixed to the identity of Jesus Christ. In other words, they are believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, they are part of the kingdom of heaven. There are also, of course, the other books which demonstrate what you've done in this life.
Uh-huh.
And as a result of that, there are degrees of reward in heaven and degrees of punishment in hell.
But
and,
is it at resurrection time, when the body comes back together? Is that what you're saying? Or
That happens when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and that's what Christ himself says, "Do not be amazed at this. A time is coming when all who are in the grace will come out. Some will rise to live, and some will rise to be eternally
condemned." So everyone
that
has passed away over the last eons are not judged yet. They're still waiting to be judged just like the rest of us.
That is absolutely true.
Okay.
It is true that if you die outside of Christ, you go to Sheol, which is the Old Testament way of describing the abode of the dead, or Hades, which is the New Testament way, or the Greek way of describing the abode of the dead. But in either case, as Jesus described it, you are in a place either of torment as one who does not believe or follow God or follow Jesus Christ, who is the representation of God in bodily form, or you are in Abraham's bosom or paradise. So Jesus describes this very aptly and clearly in a story told about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16.
Okay, but if, well, those of us that are saved, and we've asked to be forgiven of our sins, and they've been washed away, what are you being judged for then? If they've been washed away, what's still being there?
Well, there is a separation between the sheep and the goats. Those who follow Jesus Christ are metaphorically referred to as sheep, and those who do not as goats. And then there is a judgment of works, which is to say, Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done." So what we do now counts for all eternity. Or the Apostle Paul is very clearly communicating, no one can build any other foundation other than Jesus Christ. But on that foundation, you can build, either using gold, silver, costly stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. And Jesus Christ, whose eyes are like blazing fire, will incinerate the work of anyone who is building a monument to themselves as opposed to working in the service of Jesus Christ. They are saved, but Paul says, saved as one escaping through the flames. So the whole notion of degrees of reward in heaven, as well as degrees of punishment in hell, very clearly spelled out in Scripture, spelled out in such a clear way that it's unmistakable. And I go through the biblical passages in detail in my book, Resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. And I do want to alert everybody that I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air today. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you. And if you're dialing in, the number to call right now, 888-ASK-HANK. So again, if you're hanging on, please be patient. I will get to you. If you're dialing in, the number to call right now, 888-ASK-HANK, and I will continue taking calls for the next hour, answering your questions. I'll play my answers to your questions on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, maybe as soon as tomorrow. We'll see about that. I do want to mention, too, in the last minute or so that I have, that this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We have a very significant financial need. And we're asking people to stand with us prayerfully and financially. If you can pray, please pray. If you can give, please give generously. The gospel's free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We ask you to be that person, to stand with us so that we can stay on the station that you're listening to my voice on right now. We're making a difference not only in the U.S., but globally, and we're asking you to be part of a great missionary force that is touching the world, making a difference for time and for eternity. I can't think of a time when discernment ministry, when apologetics, when the defense of the faith is more significant than now. We do what we do because truth matters. We're not politically correct. And we ask those that love the ring of truth to stand with us. You can do it on the World Wide Web at equip.org. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So long for now.
October is Pastor Appreciation Month. At the Christian Research Institute, we want to help you honor and even equip your pastor, minister, or youth leader. To do so, we've picked out an array of special gift choices for you to consider giving, including a gift subscription to the award-winning Christian Research Journal. To order a gift subscription to the journal, to give the Word of Promise in dramatic audio theater, or another thoughtfully chosen gift idea for Pastor Appreciation Month, just call 888-7000-CRI. Or go to our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
These are the last of the last days. Oh, somewhere between 2003 and 2005, Jesus will come back.
How much longer do you think we really might have?
I don't believe we have another 10 years.
Anywhere from now till 2018, Jesus Christ will appear to set up his 1,000-year kingdom of revelation.
When will Jesus come back? The consensus is as varied as the number of so-called experts you ask. So where do you turn for definitive scriptural insight on the end times? Understanding Revelation is now within your grasp. The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff deals with today's most asked prophecy questions. It distinctively presents a method by which you can read the Bible for all it's worth. The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about end times and why it matters today by Hank Hanegraaff. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or order online at equip.org.